Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's another Tuesday on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. I'm Susan King, and I want to thank everybody for being here and for all the well wishes that I've had through all my Facebook friends. It is my birthday, and it was really kind of synchronistic that when I invited the guest that we're having today to be on the show, that the only date that she had available was today. So I thought, I kind of thought astrology would kind of be a little appropriate for a birthday, and we're going to be taking your calls. So I want to give out that number before we get too involved, and that is 888-815-9756, and this is worldwide. And our guest is Michelle Caron. She is a French and Finnish born, and became aware of her psychic abilities when she was very young, at age 14. And since then, she's been a professional astrologer, but she is also trained in so many other skills that it's almost hard to even go through. But she has a degree in yoga. She is a classical pianist. Unbelievable. Hollywood actress. Black belt in Taekwondo. She also serves abused children through free arts. Trained actress and model. And she has written the book Astrology for Enlightenment, which is only one of eight books that have been published in French, Finnish, and English on astrology, living, food, nutrition, yoga, as well as a spiritual novel that won a literary prize in France. So there's really so much to go into with Michelle, so I don't want to spend too much time. You can read her bio both on her site at www.michellecaron.com or on my site as well. So welcome, Michelle.
I'm very happy to be here with you, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much. This is a great way to spend your birthday.
I appreciate it.
It's a great way to spend a birthday. And, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about and wanted to address this with you a little bit, because, you know, I am a genealogist. That's no surprise. That's why the title of Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. But for the listeners who don't know, I had a near-death experience. It's coming up on 2 years, I think, in January. And kind of changed my thinking and my feelings and my beliefs a little bit as things started to become, or I became more aware of some things that I hadn't been aware of. Funny thing. But, you know, I am a genealogist, and so one of the things that I have been working on is to try to see how different modalities, and especially spiritual modalities, can actually fit into the field of genealogy. And over the 17 or 18 weeks that I've been doing this show, Michelle, I've had numerologists, I've had healers, I have had people in Jungian psychology, which I understand you're also trained. We've had spirit artists, we've had psychics, I mean, we've had a little bit of everything. And it's pretty interesting how I see that if we can understand ourselves through our birth charts, could we not better understand some of our ancestors through their birth charts?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Susan. Actually, if you mention a birth chart, you know, for those people who may not understand what that means, it's based on your date of birth, your time of birth as exact as possible, and your place of birth. And it's a picture of the heavens when you were born. And that picture is a blueprint of your whole life. So it contains also your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your brothers and sisters, your mate, and everything connected to your career, your finances, the way you love, the way you speak, the way you look. So it's a very complete plan, but of course our ancestors are incredibly important because we have characteristics that are recorded in our birth chart that do connect with our ancestors. And actually, this is a tool that's used to finding parents of orphans. And usually you will find that a child will choose as a sun sign the moon sign or the ascendant of one of his parents. So there are specific astrological signatures that go from generation to generation.
So really my idea of this being maybe used as a tool, and especially for elusive ancestors, I mean, while we all want to learn more about ourselves, you know, we sometimes as genealogists do run into these brick walls where we have, you know, an individual or cases where we cannot make head, you know, hide nor hear of who they were and where they were and how they got where they were. And, you know, the normal tools that we would use, which would be records and things like that, sometimes aren't totally available to us to make these connections. So this is actually something that people could use as a tool then. So maybe I'm not as far-fetched as I thought I was.
No, I don't think you are at all. And actually, you know, you were kind enough to share your birth data with me. And it's interesting because your midheaven, which represents career, is in Cancer. And Cancer has to do with family tree. And you have Uranus there, which means that you are somebody who breaks things open, who awakens, who is there to actually break the family tree. And there's always one member of a family who's the rebellious one and who decides that they're not going to pursue or continue the same patterns that have been going on generation after generation. And you are one of them. Because by revealing and understanding our ancestors, you are very right in saying that we understand ourselves better. And as we understand ourselves better, we do not remain the victims of our past, but we become the creators of our future.
Exactly. Like, you know, like Jude Kuravan's book, you know, in Cosmos, we are the co-creators of our lives. And I was fascinated. I interviewed her, and I was just fascinated with some of the terminology. And, I mean, it really brings everything back, and I'm sure you understand that some of these concepts that we're talking about today, and astrology being one of them, numerology, even the whole concept of oracle cards and psychic abilities really go back to ancient times. I mean, this is not new.
No, absolutely. Astrology is as old as the Earth herself, and there's been records of astrological sightings and records and for aeons in every single civilization on this planet. And actually, if you look at the temples, all the temples were built astrologically or were aligned with specific stars. And, you know, for example, the alignment of Karnak was, you know, followed the position of the sun the earth around the sun, but it was the changes of the sun throughout the year. And in temples in Peru, for example, on specific dates like solstices, like equinoxes, like eclipses, the temples light in a very specific way. And that is so incredibly precise that there is no way this was done randomly.
You know, interestingly enough, my birthday last year, I was with about 40 of my friends sailing the Greek islands, and happened to spend my birthday there. And, you know, all the temples, you know, in Greece and actually in Rome, too, which I have visited, all point in different directions, as you say. It's, you know, and they're
well,
all
there were
up.
Temples for the moon. There were temples for the sun. There were temples that worshipped different deities. And the sky and the planets were seen as living entities, which they are. You know, they are very personified in astrology, enabling us to understand aspects of our psyche as living entities. And that was a beautiful work of Carl Gustav Jung when he investigated those mythologies and all those, and astrology. Actually, his daughter became an astrologer. He realized that we were living in a very sacred world where everything had meaning and significance and relevance for our own lives.
You know, I wonder, and maybe you might have some input on this. You know, over these many years, as we've progressed through, I guess, the ancient times into organized religions and such, that, you know, there seems to be a very pronounced interest once again in some of these ancient arts, which I'm going to call them now, which, how about let's call them spiritual arts? I kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
You know, where people are getting more in tune to all of these tools that were available back in ancient times. You know, and I'm seeing that more and more and more and more. You know, and people are more open to understanding it as well.
That's true, and it's very beautiful because, I mean, they're arts and they're sciences at the same time, because astrology is very mathematically based and very accurate in terms of calculations that can be done. And what makes it so relevant is that we can prove its accuracy by going back in the past and looking at past events and seeing that they fit exactly certain constellation and certain planetary patterns, and projecting those cycles into the future and being able to predict what is coming up. And it's so relevant now because with the actualization of the Mayan calendar, which started in our calendar on the 11th of August of 3114 BC, and ends on the 21st of December 2012. And this is getting people very excited because in all sorts of ways, positive and negative, because it's right around the corner. So in our lifetime, we are going to witness one of the most, if not the most, extraordinary events that is leading to a whole transformation of society and humanity into its next dimension. Because the end of the Mayan calendar, which has proven right all the way through now, is ending not because it's the end of the world, but it's the end of one world. It's the end of lies, it's the end of manipulation, it's the end of disease, and it's the chance for us, and not everybody will use this chance, so it's very important that we become aware of what's available to us right now. It's a chance for us to co-create a reality that's one of peace, that's one of abundance, that's one of truth, that's one of harmony, and that's one of integrity.
And I think more and more people are starting to feel that. And if they aren't, I think, you know, I think that there are enough people out there, and maybe I might be one of them, that really want to try to promote this whole concept. I mean, we do. I mean, you know, one of the things that Jude Curvan said in her book is how life, you know, we have in music, and we all know music, how beautiful harmonies are. And, you know, life can be as beautiful if we put our lives, or we all work together to harmonize our lives so that there is peace and harmony throughout the world. And it's time. I mean, we've lived in so many generations of war and in certain areas of the world. And some of us are a little bit more in tune to things that happened during World War II than others. And, you know, we had families that were lost during the Holocaust. And, you know, we do have a an opportunity here to, you know, maybe make some changes in the next couple of years that, you know, can really bring nothing but happiness and peace for the next generations. And
absolutely,
our generation have the opportunity to do this, and this is kind of really exciting stuff.
And I think, Susan, you are definitely adding your part, and you're definitely a huge contribution in that. Because, you know, again, if I'm looking at your chart, you're definitely somebody who's opening new space, who's creating new horizons for people, and who is an awakener. You are somebody who's there to help people break free from conditionings and limitations that they may not be even aware of being enslaved by. And it's interesting that you're, sorry?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this because I'm not trained in any of these skills.
don't need to be, because what I feel, because you can also look at past lives if you believe in past lives.
Yes.
And in past lives, you were definitely a healer, and you were definitely somebody who was serving others and who had certainly a knowledge of plants and who was very detailed and organized and very much in the shadow. But and yet you've had lifetimes where you were probably of royalty and in the limelight with great wealth and servants. But you also have had lifetimes where you really surrendered your ego to a greater purpose and a greater understanding and a willingness to go deeper into an understanding of the human psyche and the mysteries, quote-unquote, of life, or the esoteric dimension of life. And in this lifetime, you have come forward to reach enlightenment, which is perfect because that fits exactly into the quote-unquote program of the next few years, is that we all have each one of us has a chance to reach enlightenment and become an ascended master. And if we really go with the flow and we surrender to the changes and we don't try to hold on to the old consciousness, the magic and the powers and the joy and happiness and peace we can develop in our own lives is just beyond even our imagination.
Well, I have goosebumps, I want you to know. So I was not planning on hearing all of this kind of stuff. But it is beginning to fit, you know, where I think I am being guided to go. And I will tell you, as of last November, I had no idea where I was going. I was very lost, and, you know, but things have pretty much come in different directions, and I've allowed myself to be guided into where I am, and, you know, I'm just amazed at where this is going. It's actually very exciting for me because, you know, I'm beginning to see things in a whole different light, and I'm able to see other people and the things that are holding them back in a whole different light. And I've actually been working on a number of genealogy cases that I don't know why they were brought to me, but they have been unbelievable.
There is a reason. Who is this man, John Chandler? Is he an ancestor of yours?
No, he's not, actually. He actually belongs to one of my first clients that I began to take on back about a month or two ago when I started doing research for a living as part of this overall theme of what I'm doing. And he's been a real nemesis for both my client and myself. We did have his numerology done, and then we've been actually chasing some clues from there about where he might have been when he was about age 40. But, you know, we can't find him. I mean, we don't know if his name has been changed. We don't know. We really don't know. We have some
assumptions. You know, it's not surprising, because when I look at his chart based on his date of birth and his place of birth, of course, there's no time, but still, it's very accurate. He was somebody who was definitely in advance of his time, but he was somebody who did not want to be known. He was somebody who wanted to blur the path, who wanted to be invisible, and who apparently succeeded very well in being invisible.
Yes,
he did.
He's
the kind of person who would have had a bit of a neurosis in having Big Brother watching over his shoulder. So somebody who wanted to live his life in a very unusual way, and you know what? He could have been a time traveler. He could have been somebody who was extremely mystical and somebody who was living in interdimensional space, so who was not living life in an ordinary way.
Well, that would be a very interesting concept, because he certainly, as I think our listeners would have heard if they were here when Alison Bachman was on, that, you know, he was here to sire 15 children. But where he was in between, we have not been able to find any hide or trace of him. It has been one of the most bizarre cases I have ever had. We have been looking for clues. I want to remind our audience, too, that, you know, Michelle, we'll be taking calls, so we want to hear from you if you have any questions. And, you know, we haven't talked about Mercury in retrograde yet, and we'll do that as soon as I give out this number. It's 888-815-9756. Again, toll-free worldwide, 888-815-9756. If you have any questions about yourself, about your ancestors, or about anybody, give us a holler, and we'll see what we can do to give you some enlightenment. How about that? So, yesterday, Mercury went retrograde, right?
Yes, it did, at 6 degrees Libra, and it's going to remain retrograde until the 29th of September in Virgo, 22nd degree of Virgo. And Mercury retrograde, so it's like it's an optical illusion, actually, because it looks like all of a sudden with the relative motion and speed of the Earth and Mercury, it looks at times, and about five times a year for 3 weeks each time, that Mercury goes backwards instead of going forward, so that's why it's called retrograde.
Right.
It's an illusion, but it's an illusion, you know, everything has meaning in astrology, so even if something looks a certain way, it doesn't matter if it is or not, it has meaning for us. And Mercury retrograde usually gets a very bad rap because that's a time where, you know, we lose our keys, we forget messages, we erase messages without having listened to them, we miscommunicate, people misunderstand each other. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff that happens in communication. It's usually not a good time to install any software. It's usually not a good time to, with car issues, so make sure you take care of your car before Mercury turns retrograde and after, but not while. But I personally love Mercury retrograde because it's a time where you hear from people you haven't heard from forever. People, you know, you thought were lost reappear. Projects you had forgotten about that were collecting dust on your shelves come to the forefront again. It's a time where things slow down because we think in a more internal way. So we have more time to remember all those things that we forgot about. So this is a wonderful time for reflection. This is a wonderful time for writing. This is a wonderful time for meditating. It's a wonderful time for traveling because we, especially if we are going to places we have visited before, because it's a chance to reconnect with locations and people we haven't seen in a long time. I personally love Mercury retrograde. There's always exciting stuff that happens while Mercury is retrograde. And we have to look at which signs it's retrograde in. So this time it's retrograde in Libra and in Virgo, which means that we could have some romantic connections coming back to the surface. People, you know, we were lovers with who dissolved, disappeared, and all of a sudden we get a chance to understand why they did that, or maybe get a chance to reconnect, or maybe get a chance to get some kind of closure. This is a time where relationships we thought would never happen, happen. This is a time with Virgo where we need to reconnect to our bodies. So exercise program, if we got off the wheel of going to the gym every day, that may be a great time to start reapplying, you know, from gym membership. Or it's a great time to start doing yoga again or to reassess our nutrition, get a medical checkup, you know, go jogging every morning again. I mean, doing all those things that also reconnect us with the earth and with healing in any form, and there's definitely a lot of modalities available to us today, which you mentioned, and you've been inviting all those people on your show. And it's a time where we can also remember to do things for the earth, you know, do things in terms of recycling, in terms of bringing our bags to the grocery store, in terms of, you know, shutting electricity off when we're not using it, not wasting water. I mean, you know, simple gestures that don't take anything out of our lives but can make a huge difference if all of us do our little part.
Wow. That's compelling. I think I'm going to follow that. Yeah, I have been, actually. I've been, you know, a little bit more in tune to a lot of those kinds of things lately, and I don't know why. I guess everything changes. You know, one of the things that I got also a little interested in reading your bio is, you know, the abused children. You know, when will that ever end?
Well, you know, it was actually a very interesting journey for me to work with the abused children, and I'm very grateful that I have that opportunity because they're beautiful children. I mean, children are always beautiful no matter what their living circumstances are. And it's an incredible, Free Arts is just such an incredible organization because we don't know each other's full name. We don't know where anybody lives. We don't know any of our past histories. All I know is that these children have been abused, you know, either sexually or have parents who are either drug addicts or alcoholics. And those children, all we do with them is art. So we share, you know, 1 hour a week and we just do art together. So we have a project we come up with and then we just have them do it, and it has to be something where they can win, something that where they can express themselves, and something where that's safe. It's a very safe environment for them, and it's a very fun, creative, positive environment. And when I started, you know, I was very idealistic, and I was going to help those children and all of that. What I didn't realize is that they actually were the ones helping me. And I had it actually brings a lot of emotions to me because these children, you know, and I was very lucky to be working in an environment where I had the same children day, you know, week in, week out, and I got to see, you know, their progress and how they were doing and how they were evolving. And it was magical because some of those kids, you know, in the beginning, I mean, there was one little girl particularly, you know, she would create and then she would destroy her creation right before she was done, and then she would sit in a corner and start to bang her head against the wall. And no matter how much I tried to talk to her, it was just making things worse. And eventually she started to get the hang of it, and then she started, one day she ended her creation. She was able to create something and complete her creation, and it was such a breakthrough when she was able to do that. And there is no therapy involved, there's no talking, it's a very simple, low-key environment where we're just doing things with simple things, you know, with glue, with paper, with crayons, and I mean, there's nothing sophisticated about the supplies that we have, And it's a very healing place for everybody, including for myself. It was incredibly healing for me. I mean,
now,
it's incredibly healing to be in contact with those beautiful children.
Is this a nationwide or an international program? Or?
Yes, it is. I know that it's at least in California, it's in Arizona, I'm sure it's in other states also. It's called Free Arts, actually. Anybody can register, and I really, you know, strongly advise people to have that experience because, first, you're really doing something of value for others and for yourself. And I think children are so important nowadays because they're really the future of our society, really. And some of those kids were absolute angels. Like, there was this little boy. He was always dreamy, always, you know, somewhere else. And he would look at what I would bring and stare at it for, like, half an hour. And then all of a sudden come up with something completely different that was genius. That was absolutely genius. So I don't know how he got from point A to point B, but it didn't matter because what he did was his, and it just made him so happy, and he would come out for a few minutes out of his, you know, very, so, you know, he was very, not dark, but very closed off, not very silent, very solitary. And for a few minutes, he would just come alive and then go back to his space. But those few minutes were precious, and it doesn't matter if it's a few minutes, you know.
Yeah.
There's at least a glimmer of something else that can grow into something magical and beautiful.
You know, I wonder if genealogy would be an interesting piece of a healing process of a puzzle for kids.
I'm sure it would, you know. It's interesting, Susan, because before your show, I mean, of course I knew of it, but I had never met a genealogist. And I've always been intrigued by family trees, and I think we hardly know our own ancestors these days because everybody has traveled so much, nobody has really time, and we live in such a fast-paced society that we forget to go back to our roots, and our roots are very important. You're actually
right.
Inspiring me to go into my own family tree now.
Oh, really?
If you need some help,
let me know.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Mine will probably be complicated because it goes through all sorts of countries.
I see that, but I've worked in all sorts of countries.
I have ancestors in Finland and Sweden and France and God knows where else. And they all have traveled on top of it, so I think it's... But I think my Finnish family I can probably trace back pretty far. My Finnish family has been pretty good at keeping tabs on everybody, so I think that's next on my list.
Yes, well, you know, the records in France are pretty good. I mean, far superior than the records we have here, I will tell
really?
You that.
That's surprising, because actually, you know, every country has a sign. And the sign of the States is Cancer and Gemini. So maybe the Gemini side is less interested, but the Cancer side would be very connected to family roots, family trees, and all this ancestry information.
It's possible, but I mean, you know, going back into, I know, Belgium, records go back to the 13th century.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forgot about that.
I mean, it's amazing. And, I mean, you know, we're, and now most everybody in the United States at some point does end up back somewhere on the other side of the ocean.
Unless they were descendants of the Native Americans.
Exactly. And I tell you, the more and more I do research and more I talk to people, there's a lot of Native American blood in a lot of people in the United States. And I think more so than people would recognize unless they go out and they get, you know, a DNA test. It's pretty amazing how many people really do have some Native American bloodlines and... I'm seeing that more and more and more and more.
You know, that's very interesting, Susan, because there is a theory which I, believe in, that most American Indians were reincarnated as white people, Caucasian. So it's like a sort of karmic shift, and a lot of white people have reincarnated as American Indians. So it's a sort of rebalancing of karma and understanding things from the other person's perspective, because as they say, you know, we can't understand someone unless you've walked in their shoes for a few miles. And that's the whole purpose of reincarnation, is that, you know, once you have done something, then come back in the opposite side, so that you understand in your own personal experience what it means. So we were talking about abused children, and it's true that there's an incredible amount of domestic violence and atrocities that are performed every day. And I don't think that there is necessarily more darkness than before, but it's just more visible. Because what is happening now, between now and 2012, is that there is such an acceleration of consciousness. Time is no longer linear. It's not about past comes before present, comes before future. It's all happening at once. And as we progress towards 2012, we are going to see that everything is happening simultaneously, which is what makes life so difficult right now, that we can't control it with our minds anymore. And our subconscious and our inner life is becoming more and more visible, because we can't protect it anymore. There's just no, it's just going too fast. So, you know, it's like if you go in the spin cycle in your washing machine or your drying machine, well, the faster things spin, you know, the spinning cycle occurs, and the more all the water comes out from inside the clothes, and that's how things get dry. Well, it's the same right now, is that darkness is coming out of people faster and faster and more visible, so that there is no chance of hiding anymore. So that's the good news of now, is that people are revealing their truth and their ugliness and their darkness and their demons and all of those things that they've been trying to conceal, and we no longer can conceal our truth. So it's a time also of false prophets. It's a time of people who don't walk their talks. Well, this cannot work anymore, you know, and it's going to become so apparent that even mysteries of the past, and I think it's so interesting that you are dealing with mysteries of the past, are going to emerge, and we're going to understand that the history we have learned in school is not our true history. That's not the story that we came out of apes. That's complete craziness. We came from the stars. We came from other planets, and that explains all the different races and all the different religions and all the different cultures. And we have come, and the history of humanity is beyond the craziest science fiction movie you can imagine. And that's the truth of where we're coming from. And that's the truth. So it's going to be interesting, you know, once you start doing genealogy, that starts to trace us back to other planets. Because if you go far enough, that's where you're going to land. Sirius and Pleiades and Arcturus, you know, these are our true ancestors.
You know, I've always joked about being part of the third rock from the sun, maybe.
You know what? It may not be very far from reality. Reality at this point is going beyond fiction, and that's the amazing thing that's happening. And this is also why we have to be so careful about our thoughts, about our feelings, about the people we hang out with, the books we read, the films we watch, the places where we live. So that's why so many people are divorcing, separating, living alone, changing locations, moving, because we have to be in an environment that supports our growth. And we cannot be in relationships that are so-so. We cannot be in a place that doesn't feel right. We cannot be in a job that doesn't make our heart sore. And a lot of people are being laid off, and not because, you know, of course the economy is what it is, but the economy is shifting because it is based on principles that are not in alignment with the divine. And all the companies, all the people, all the organizations that are not in alignment with the divine are going to crumble and dissolve. No matter how much they try to hold on to the old structures, it's just not going to work. They're not going to be able to hold on forever. Because, you know, when the whole house starts to shake, well, there's so much you can save in your house, you know. When the walls start coming down, well, so goes also the china and the paintings on the walls and your furniture. And this is exactly what's going on right now. So those people who are being laid off, it can look like a tragedy, and in a way, yes, it is, but if we look at the bigger picture, it can be a huge blessing in disguise. It can be a chance to finally get out of a job they didn't like or they didn't believe in or that was eating up time and energy in order to find what they really want. And those 2 days today, and I'm so grateful to be on your show today. I mean, it happened like that because that was my only possible date for both
of
us.
It was. It was amazing.
But it actually, there is no random event. I always love that. Well, today and tomorrow, the 8th of September and the 9th, which is 9909, is a portal that's an incredible chance for us to manifest and get a glimpse of what it's going to be like after the 28th of October 2011, which is the first end date of the Mayan calendar before the 21st of December 2012. And these 2 days, today and tomorrow, are about co-creating the reality we want, becoming artful masters of our own destiny. So whatever we focus on, whatever feelings we have, whatever prayers we put out to the universe, these are 2 days where everything will come true. So we have to be very, very much in alignment with our highest truth, with the purest possible heart that we can.
Wow. I had no idea about that. But I did know that, you know, 9-9-2009 was probably going to be a pretty powerful day, thinking about it, numerology speaking, but I didn't realize that these 2 days were as compelling as they are. I guess I need to focus, as does everybody out there.
And it's great that you've got your birthday on those 2 dates, because that's me on this date today starting this portal, because that means that you have a chance now for this coming year to create whatever it is you want. So focus on whatever it is that you want in your life, whether it's financial abundance, whether it's love, whether it's success, whatever it is, and, you know, with a pure intention. So, of course, whatever is done for selfish reasons will not be supported, or will be supported, but in a way that will boomerang in a negative way. But those things that are done with a pure heart and for the highest good of yourself and others are definitely going to be enhanced and multiplied and amplified by these 2 dates.
Wow. Well, you know, I will tell you, based on just, you know, what you preceded this with, and now, I mean, I have had a career change going on over the last, guess what, year and 6 months. And like I said earlier, I mean, I had no clue where I was going. And I am being guided, and I have actually a new project that we're launching today, matter of fact. Me and one of my colleagues from the past, and interestingly enough, it goes within the grain of what I'm doing, but it's not exactly what I'm doing. But we are going to go into a new brokerage business to help institutions, organizations, and individuals that have data that is that could be of great value to genealogy and the field of genealogy, to help make sure that it gets out there and sees the light of day, and that the people who have the data are, you know, properly compensated and in the way, shape, and form that they wish to be compensated. Because, you know, genealogy is only as good as the records that we can find. And one of the things that I've always been very excited about and been involved in is bringing, you know, records that have value to genealogists out there where people can actually get a hold of them. So we're launching that today. Matter of fact, I haven't sent the announcement out because I was waiting to finish the show.
Wonderful. You know, it's wonderful because this is definitely a period where we need to reinvent ourselves according to our heart's desires and do things because we believe in them, because they make our hearts soar, and because they make us happy. So this is a chance to do things that we believe in and not just do go through the motions because we need to have, you know, rent money or food money. The money will come as we follow our hearts. That's very important at this point in time.
You know, and I think that that's something that we all tend to, and I know that I have been, you know, battling this whole thing for the last couple of, you know, year and a half or so, that, you know, we tend to panic when we don't know when our next, where our next meal is coming from, so to speak. And so we tend to do things in ways that are not for our highest good, I can tell you. And so I made a decision a year and a half ago that I was not going to panic and that I was going to focus and be guided and let things come as they will. And, you know, I have been blessed, even if it's been at the last hour, you know, with ways and with means, and while things are far from perfect, I am far happier than I've been in I don't know how many years. And I also know that if you do, and I think that that is the most important thing for anybody, is follow your dreams, follow your heart, don't panic, it will come.
Absolutely, that's a beautiful motto, you know. And now as we take a leap of faith and follow what our heart desires, the universe will support us in such magical ways. It's just going to be amazing to see the doors that open, the support we get, the financial help we receive, and the abundance we create. Because really, money comes from the divine. It doesn't come from a person. It doesn't come from a job. It comes from the divine. And if we start to trust in that and have faith, there's no limits to the miracles we can manifest in our lives. None.
And I tell you what, I am a believer in that. I have to be, because I'm here on this earth by a miracle, and you just never know. We've got a caller, Michelle, and her name is Doris from Utah, and
hello, Doris.
Let's take her. Hi, Doris. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Do you have a question for Michelle, I hope?
Yes, and I hope she gives her website a little later because I couldn't understand. Is it Michelle Karen?
Yes.
karen.com. You can go to my website.
Oh, okay. And Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E?
Yes, correct. Michelle Karen. Karen, like her first name, .com.
Okay. Well, I've always had a deep desire in my heart to, you know, to help children, but it's never kind of happened, but,
well, you know, probably, I don't know if it exists in Utah, but I'm sure if you sign up, you know, you look at freearts. I think it's .org, I'm not sure, then I'm sure you can find.
What is it called now? Free?
Free, like it's free, arts, like arts, A-R-T-S, and Utah, I'm sure it will come up, something will come up for that. It's a beautiful organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, Doris, it's interesting because I was very, very touched by that too, and I'm actually, while we're doing this, I'm going to see if I can bring it up because I'm interested.
And then how it goes is that you contact someone from Free Arts and they give you a few basic trainings, and then there is also ways you can volunteer, I was lucky actually to be able, there was an opening in the Claire Foundation in LA, which has to do with children of drug addicts, alcoholics, and
right.
That was a center, so while the parents were getting, AA help, I was dealing with the children, it was very magical. But then there's also events where there's 100 children whom you'll never see again, and you just go once, do a project with them, and then do another with another different 100 people, children. So it's all, there's all sorts of different ways of volunteering for that organization.
Oh, that's great. Because I'm an artist from way back. You know, I used to, when I had time, did art, and I was raised with music. And, I play music also. But once I had a vision that I saw this school and, with children, and then, of course, I was in a room with music, but another room opened up with the arts, and I just had this feeling, to have this association with, for children or something, to help them.
It's interesting, Doris, that you bring that up because basically when we have intuitions or visions like that,
right.
We should not dismiss them. And there is
right.
a reason why we are given that, and there is, and it's something we need to follow through. And as you follow through on your vision, no matter where it comes from, no matter how crazy it seems, you'll be amazed to see how easily it can come together.
Right.
So follow your
right.
dreams. It's very, very important at this time, especially 2009. There's been a very magical conjunction of Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune in Aquarius, and it has to do with pulling our resources together, brainstorming together, coming up with visions and dreams and making them into a reality that shifts society.
Yeah. Yeah, since I've had that vision, it's been about 5-6 years, but I've been collecting books or projects to do with children, and, I have, a little file of it.
Beautiful. Well, put that into, use those 2 days now to make contacts or to see, how you can make that happen, because there's a reason why you've been led to think in those along those lines, for sure.
Yeah, and I honestly have not listened to BBS radio for the last, 2 months. And then I just started last night listening to a show, and then I put it on today. So that was kind of interesting.
No accident.
I got an email from Patricia. So her show was on this morning, and then I thought, I'll listen to the next one, So that's how this happened.
Interesting. Well, I want to give you the website for Free Arts. It's www.freearts.org, O-R-G. And they have places where you can actually contact some of the people. I don't know how it extends out, but I would go right there and I would make contact. And maybe there is an opportunity to set up chapters or something in different areas. It would be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and since then, I've developed, since I've had that vision, I've developed, different gifts. I went to massage school, and I'm very much into the healing part of it. So I've attracted quite a clientele that way. But now I've taken a break. I only do it a few days a week so I could find my next passion, and I just keep thinking about children all the time. So that's what kind of keeps coming up, that I should do something with the children.
Absolutely.
But children are always attracted to me. They'll linger on, and they'll, always smile at me.
Children are such magical beings because especially with the planetary aspects that are going on now, most of those children have been born with not just 2 strands of DNA, but 4 to 6 strands of DNA. And
oh, really?
They have an incredible consciousness. I mean, some of those children are very evolved beings. And this whole campaign that, you know, they're autistic and all that, that there's a whole generation that's autistic, and then they're being given medication, they're not autistic. They are actually teaching nonverbal communication. And they are so sensitive that they are not needing a lot of words because they are coming with telepathic abilities and are able to telepathically communicate what they have to say. So they are teaching us the next level in consciousness and in communication, which of course regular psychology does not necessarily understand.
Right.
I was just talking to somebody about that, about how the medical profession and others that we're not picking up on, we're drugging people, we're over-drugging people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
especially children, that's really a tragedy because drugs do remain in the body for a long time, and our bodies were not designed to absorb all those chemicals. So it's bad enough that we live in polluted environments, it's bad enough that we eat irradiated foods. We have to be very, very cautious of the quality of the water, very cautious of the quality of the vegetables and fruit that we eat, be as conscious as possible to eat the way nature designed us to eat, which is basically raw vegetables and fruit, and to avoid all sorts of chemicals and processed foods and GMOs and all that stuff that's absolutely so harmful, not just to the body, but to consciousness.
Yeah, and that's basically my diet, actually. I have a garden, and I live out of my garden, so I know what I grow, you know.
Well, Doris, you're right in alignment with what's going on right now. That's wonderful to hear.
I still love food.
And you know what? You should love food. I mean, look, I'm French, okay? I love food,
and
too.
And I think I love all the bad food.
But, you know, we can
learn to get over that.
But we can, we can love foods that are good for us also.
And
not put any
question for this.
And protect our bodies as temples.
Yes. Sorry, I couldn't hear you talk. For the genealogy, I always wanted to have Native American in my background because, you know, I have the high cheekbones.
Yes.
And my dad is very tall and dark haired, but, you know, it would be on my dad's side, I think.
One way to determine is, is DNA testing. That's the quick and easiest way. Tracing, genealogically, can get, can take a lot of time, but it's very possible. And some of the records, Native American records, some of them are actually there. There's a lot of them going online over the last few years that had not before been there. But I don't know. Is your father still living or no?
Yeah, he is.
He is.
He is.
Probably the best thing to do is to, having DNA tested, and I recommend Family Tree DNA, and they have a huge Native American database as well, and, go ahead and getting tested and see where he shows up in the scheme
of things.
Oh, you
mean having my dad tested, you mean?
Yes, have your dad tested, and have him tested both on his paternal and maternal line, which would be his...
So what's the process about that? Is it just like
DNA
a blood test?
And the mtDNA, which can only be tested on a male, the mtDNA, which would be the maternal line. And it's a simple cheek swab thing. www.familytreedna.com.
Okay.
And that would be, and see what the results are. And if it leads to any Native American, then it would help really guide you, if you believe that to be the case, into doing some research along those lines.
Yeah, because I just, go ahead.
Yeah, otherwise, just taking the normal genealogy route of, tracing, through birth, death, marriage records, and census records, his line, where you might, you will be able to find that as well.
Okay.
But the proof will be in the DNA.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just that I've studied herbs, and it just comes very easy to me, and I've gone and collect them, and and now I bought a Native American drum, and I play like I've always played. You know, people say, "Oh, it's so beautiful," and then I came out with this soul song, and it sounds Native American. So it's just like it's just come out of me.
Yeah. Well, it may.
May I ask Doris for your date of birth?
Sure.
Do you mind?
Yeah, it's 10/26/1945.
Okay, so October 26th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I can look at your past lives. I can't really look at your genealogy, but your past lives I can look at if you're interested.
Sure.
Well, what I see in your past lives, you know, it's very possible that you have actually yourself had past lives as an American Indian. Because you were definitely part of a tribe in past lives and very protected by your family and the people you were surrounded by, and there were lots of children and you took care of children, so you could have been a mother of children, but there was definitely a sense of being a member of a tribe that was very close-knit and very connected and solidary of each other. And you have also had past lives that have to do with spiritual asceticism, where you could have become very, denied personal emotions and personal frailty in order to help other people or to guide other people. So you could have been even a Buddhist monk, or you could have been someone who denied any kind of personal frailty and was not allowed any personal weakness because the livelihood of other people depended on you being absolutely strong and having no personal emotion in that way. So in this lifetime, it's about finding the balance between the two and helping others, but by being available emotionally and not denying your own vulnerabilities and not feeling guilty for feeling weak at some times or needing help, but accepting help gracefully and knowing that that is part of your highest development in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. What was the word you used? At first, spiritual what now? I didn't understand the word.
Being an asset, like being a...
a spiritual asset.
In the sense of denying all sorts of luxuries in your life. That's the right word, right? Ascetism.
Yeah, you mean being a monk, right?
Yes,
being a monk.
Being very, living with a bowl of rice and in very simple ways.
Yeah, and people call me the mystic, that's fine to call me that,
Yeah, so I'm not surprised. Because, I think it's interesting, and I don't know what, Susan, you would think of that, but I think there's also a personal, there's the family tree we were born into, but there's also our past lives, and all the different incarnations that we've had. And I think those two sort of play with each other or fit into each other in some interesting way.
I am interested in that, but I haven't even looked at that from the genealogical perspective. I've looked at it from a healing perspective. So, that might be of something of interest to me.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see if we don't choose, because I strongly believe that we choose our parents, we choose our incarnation, we choose our country of birth, and then our country of adoption, as the case may be, and that could very well be connected to the kind of past lives that we are coming in with and the kind of karma we have to work out. So we usually choose or connect again with people we have known in past lives, so our father or our mother in this lifetime could have been our sister or our mate in another lifetime, or our child even. And sometimes, in some cases, we choose families with whom we have no karmic connection whatsoever, but who will provide a specific experience we need to have in order to put us on our path. So even, children who will, quote-unquote, choose, abuse or dramatic circumstances, there is a reason to that. And sometimes we don't choose easy circumstances, and that's our test, our karmic test of, are we going to go beyond that? Are we going to grow? What are we going to do with that? And some get destroyed by those circumstances. Other people become extraordinary. And most of the amazing people who have really had an impact on others and on a huge number of people, if you look at their biography, they usually had a very tough life, and with lots of challenges and lots of really difficult circumstances. But they rose above, and they decided not to get stopped by those circumstances, and they became great, and they became an inspiration for others.
Yes, and I was always a big biography reader, and I have always noticed that. You know, we are way over time.
I was wondering, I was thinking, is this a 2-hour show? I'd love
it. We just happen to be a little fortunate in that there is no show that follows directly. So I don't have to panic about getting us off the air, but I'm sure the station would like me to stay within some time frame here. Because, actually,
well,
I was writing.
Time flies when we're having fun, right?
Yes. And I guess he said it was okay. Let me ask one more question of you, Michelle, and then I think we do need to let you go, actually, because, I don't want to take up too much of your time. A lot of people have always asked about things like major catastrophic situations and how so many people can be involved with, in these situations with their, and how you would explain the astrology, for example, plane crashes, 9/11, the Holocaust, and how do you explain the fact that you have so many people with so many different various charts, and how, do you understand my question?
I do, yes. Well, Susan, that's a fascinating question, because as we approach 2012, there's going to be more and more of those massive events where, hundreds or dozens of people die in one afternoon or in a couple of hours. What we need to know is that it's also a conscious decision at an unconscious level, but we do choose our time and our way of death, and a lot of people are choosing to go right now, because they're realizing that they will be of more help on the other side, or they're so overwhelmed with all the things they realize they have to shift in their lives that they give up, and they decide, I can't do this. So, and it's not suicide, I'm not talking about that at all, which is, not something to be recommended for sure, but it is a time where people are making choices to go, and sometimes healthy people, young people, you thought everything was fine in their lives, and they decide to go. And it's not something we should be afraid of, because first of all, I don't see death as the end, and I have proof of that. Actually, if you do go to my website, michellekaren.com, there's conversations I've had with my father since he died 3 years ago, after his death, that are very revealing on the nature of death and the afterlife. And my father was absolutely convinced about reincarnation, and while he was alive, he had told me he would give me signs that he was right, and he gave me more than signs. He actually had conversations with me.
Wow.
And the thing is, we need to remember that if it's not your time, it's not your time. even in 9/11, even in the tsunami, even in car crashes or plane crashes, there's, even in the Holocaust, there's people who survived. And there's people who did not go to the other side and came back to testify and talk about their experience. So we should not be afraid of those events, because it's also the earth is getting fed up of the abuse, and the earth is shaking things off and is, you know, waking us up to our ways of life that are not in harmony with her needs, and are slowly destroying the resources of the planet, which is a very dangerous thing to do. If we want to survive, we need to honor our mother, Pachamama, the way the Kero masters in shamanism in Peru honor their mother, the earth. And we have forgotten that, especially in the American civilization, who believes that we should tame the nature and not honor nature, but that's changing, thank God. You know, there is always a chance to survive, but what we need to do, and we will live very well and thrive if we are in integrity with ourselves, in honoring of the life we have, in gratitude to the earth, in gratitude to what we have available to us, and use it, you know, with consciousness. So we should not fear. We should not give in to the scenarios of tragedy, because they may happen, but it's not relevant. What's relevant is how we lead our lives on a day-to-day basis in a little corner, in a simple way. That's what matters right now, the choices we make on a daily basis.
Keep it simple, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There we go.
And value what you have, you know, because so many people are wanting more money, more this, more that. Well, do you value what you have? Do you use everything that's in your house? Do you, you know, eat everything that's in your cupboards? I mean, be aware of what's already around you at all times.
Wonderful.
And
Michelle, thank you. And I hope I can. Will you come back one day here soon?
I would love to.
Maybe as we get closer to 2011?
Absolutely. I'd be most honored to, Susan. Thank you very much.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing this time on my birthday today.
Thank you.
I want to thank all of our listeners. I think this has been one of an incredible show, and they keep getting better and better and better, I think. And I want to thank Michelle for being here with us. Next week on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect, we have Daniel Horowitz. He is with MyHeritage.com out of Israel. And for genealogists, they have a ton of wonderful free tools available. So we're going to hear all about it next week on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. I'm Susan King. My website, www.susanmeking.com. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.